Conversations podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Conversations podcast. Today, I am with Hayley Armstrong, who is the TNI editor for the In Touch magazine. Hayley, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thanks. Hayley, your background has changed. Your internet is a little less grainy. What's happened?
I've changed countries. I'm now back in Australia.
Well, welcome back. We used to be talking to you all the way when you were in Guadalajara, Mexico, and you've made the switch. You've come back to Australia, and well, you've gone from one tropical city to another tropical city, I guess, while we're freezing our nether regions off here in Melbourne. You're in the wonderful sunny Queensland.
Yes, that's right.
Well, welcome home. On that note, I want to ask you, we're going to talk about the August issue of the In Touch magazine today. And I'm looking at the cover. There's a beautiful picture of Brisbane there. Why Brisbane for this issue?
Have you not heard, Fati? It's because of the upcoming conference. The AusEt National Conference will be held there later this year. And so it's to entice readers to come up and join us for the event.
Well, I'm enticed and I'll be joining you there. It's a wonderful front cover. It's going to be, I think, the first in-person one we're going to have for a while. We almost had one in Perth, I think, last year. It was still in person. I think they did a hybrid one last year. Western Australia went into lockdown just before. So looking very much forward to travelling up north to see you. I'll be seeing you there too, right?
Yes, I'll be looking forward to seeing you. I think this year is also hybrid, so there is a face-to-face component, which I think has been sold out currently. And there's also, for those who missed out on face-to-face tickets, there's a an online ticket you can get too.
It sold out very, very quickly. So we were lucky to get in there. And I think people are just dying to get reconnected again. I know.
Yeah, me too.
We've been speaking for a couple of years now and I actually haven't met you in person.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the way of the world these days, isn't it?
I know, right? And I think that's all about to change, hopefully, in a couple of months for us when I'll see you up there with the rest of the Australian and some international TNI people as well. All right, well, let's all talk about the In Touch issue. I think, congratulations must be said to you. You have won the best periodical prize for 2022. The prize was given by FIT, the International Federation of Translators. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's been an honour to receive that award, and special thanks go to Helen Sturgis Mine Konachi and Melissa McMahon. Can you correct me on Mina's surname, please?
Mine Konachi. I can do that because it's a Turkish name. I haven't met Mine, but I'm going to make sure at least that we get her name right here.
Yes, thank you very much for correcting me on that. The award was granted based on three issues that were submitted to the panel, and those particular issues were the last two issues of 2019 and the first one of 2020. We're very proud to have received that award, and so we've included a write-up on it in this issue.
And so you should, whenever you can blow your own horn, you should be able to. And I think in this case, it's definitely well warranted. Big congrats to you and the team. And also, I think, to the previous team, because this was originally submitted for the 2020 prize. And then, as we all know,
it was postponed to the because of the pandemic. Yeah.
Well, and now you get to reap the benefits of that.
Yes, I get to reap the benefits for what my very hardworking colleagues earned prior to me coming on board. But yes, it is a great award. It's a great thing to have achieved, and it's for the whole team, the editorial committee too, that helped contribute to creating those issues.
Oh, well done to you, and also big kudos to Melissa, Mine, and Helen as well. Thank you to the entire In Touch team. It's our own magazine. and now we are world famous. So get your hands on one, guys. Look, I had a read through the magazine. You sent it through to me so kindly before it was released. So I always enjoy getting it, you know, hot off the press before anyone reads it. Thanks again for another lovely issue. Tell me, what stands out for you in this particular issue? There's wonderful articles there to read again, including one from you, which we'll talk about. What stands out for you this issue?
There's a few themes going on in this issue. Obviously, there's information about the upcoming conference and why people should come. There's a continuation of the identity theme that we've been having for the last issues. So originally that was designed to be a two-part series, and it's become a four-part series just because we've had so many submissions on that theme. And this one's focus has been around Auslan in particular, and it's how it interconnects with the LGBTQI plus identity, and also with First Nations identity, and how you know, the sign, because I, for example, the First Nations sign languages can differ to Auslan, and how, you know, all of those identities interconnect and impact on how people communicate with each other. So it is an interesting topic there. And another of the themes is also around research. It's the start of what will hopefully be a multi-issue feature as well. This issue talks about some updates, I guess, from Legal Literate at and on a study done around perinatal death, which is a topic that's not necessarily uplifting, but I think it's good. The study was into around how cold communities deal with perinatal death, and whether translation and interpreting impacts on this and the quality of that. So it is an interesting research area. So yeah, I guess for me the main areas are the identity theme, and that we won a prize, and research, and plus our usual series that go in there, the usual columns of three quick questions and all of those fun ones.
Oh yes, it's always interesting to see how some of the OZIT committee members and some of the practitioners out there. You know, it's just really good to get a little bit of an insight into their lives as well.
Yeah, well, it is a field where we all have interesting backgrounds, I guess, in terms of our work experience and our own family identity, and where everyone, it's very diverse, I guess, and so that makes it interesting.
There was one article there that focuses on interpreting for performances, and I think there was one there, interpreting performance, three quick questions for Australian Performing Arts Markets Associate Producer Melanie Burge. I found that quite interesting as well, where now for accessibility reasons there's Auslan interpreting for performances. Then there was a question put to them for, you know, what about spoken languages? Have you had any? That was very interesting, you know. I mean, we're very, especially, you know, in Melbourne here, it's cultural activities. There's a lot going on in Melbourne, but I don't think there is enough going on for multilingual cultural activities. You know, everything is pretty much in English. More and more we see Auslan interpreters in these performances, and it's great. But then you think, so many non-English speakers out there missing out on performing arts.
That's right. I've never been to an event, not to say there aren't any, but I've not personally been to an event in Australia where you're given the earpiece to listen to a simultaneous interpretation. While in Mexico, I have a few times. I mean, it did help because I was, involved in providing those services, but you know, it's not uncommon in Mexico that people might come from, say, the States and be presenting in English, and then there's, you know, the interpretation provided in Spanish and an earpiece. And yeah, I don't think it is all that common in Australia, and maybe it is something that would be nice to be more common.
Yeah, definitely. It might even open a brand new sector for interpreters, you know, especially for conference interpreters and simultaneous mm-hmm. interpreters. Wouldn't it be just amazing? You might go to the opera, let's say, and you're watching something usually either in Italian, French, or German mm-hmm. in general, and there are surtitles. Or you might go to the theatre, and sometimes if it's performed in another language, there are surtitles in English, though, usually. But, if we have a look at the most current census, you've got more than 50% of Australians speaking another language at home. Mm-hmm. And just in Victoria, it's 35% of Victorians are born overseas. So you've got this massive number. Imagine being able to go to a play at the MTC and, you know, getting simultaneous interpreting mm-hmm. for a play that you're going to. I've been trying to get tickets for Dorian Gray for God knows how many weeks now. It's just impossible to get. But imagine this amazing play that is now groundbreaking, using 25, 26 different cameras, I think, on the one actor, and it's moved the entire world, and only English speakers can understand it.
Mm-hmm.
That
might be an area that live captioning particularly could enter into. We've had a couple of articles about that in previous issues about for TV events, how live captioning is usually for hard of hearing or Auslan or deaf communities, but it can also be done with language interpreting, which adds another layer.
Live captioning is great, but imagine going to the theatre and breathing
right in person.
We've watched our share of live performing arts on live streams over the last few years. It's good, but it's never going to take the place of actually going to the theatre.
No, that's right. The atmosphere inside a theatre is
maybe in Australia we don't have a lot of conference interpreting. Maybe let's say at least when we compare it to Europe, let's say. But we do know that we are a very very artistic country, artistic nation, and maybe this might be a new revenue stream for our conference interpreters.
Well, that would be great, Fadi.
let's start this conversation, shall we?
Sounds good.
All right. In this issue, you yourself have a review of a book. So we're very lucky to get an article from the editor herself this time. Tell us a little bit about that. You reviewed a book by Jhumpa Lahiri.
That's right. Yeah, it's it was my pleasure to include an article this time. It's an area, I'm a bit of a fan of Jhumpa Lahiri myself. I've read quite a few of her books, and this one is recently released in April this year. So it was interesting because I only knew Jhumpa Lahiri really as a writer, an author, but she is actually quite an accomplished translator as well. She grew up speaking Bengali, but it's not actually the language she's been translating. And she's been translating from Italian into English. This book is, I guess, a meditation on how she felt about translating from Italian, why she wanted to do it, and why at first she wasn't, I guess, prepared or wanting to go to delve into self-translating, because she basically spent quite a long period in living in Italy herself to immerse herself in the language and learn it inside out. And to the point where she stopped writing in English and public, like announced it to the world and said, I will not write anything further in English. I am now going to only write in Italian, which is pretty bold step. And so she wrote a couple of books in Italian and then eventually translated her own book. The first book that she wrote in Italian was translated by Anne Goldstein, who is also famous for translating Elena Ferrante's novels. And after that, she, I guess, was game enough to jump into self-translation, because I think she thought, which she talks a little bit about how if you're translating yourself, there's that temptation to re-edit yourself mm-hmm. and not.
It gives you a second chance to write the story again, almost, doesn't it? Like, oh, I could have done better here, and then add that in there. And
yeah,
you can't do it. It's yours, isn't it?
Well, that's what she said, that she was worried she wouldn't be able to just only translate it, that she would be too tempted to change it, which I think did happen a little bit. Like, apparently she said it did make that book, it created a third version, I guess, because there was the original in Italian and then the white version in English and then a second version in Italian that was like the new and improved version.
Back translated.
doing such a close reading of her own work, she found things that she wished she'd done better and then eventually went, okay, let's modify this. So, and just how viewing yourself through the lens of a translator, I guess, like, or the lens of the other language changes how you feel about it and how you perceive your own text. So, yeah, I just found that interesting.
It's very interesting, and I'm definitely going to pick this book up now after reading the article. I honestly had no idea, and I'm very, very thankful to you for introducing Jhumpa Lahiri to me.
I'm glad to be in service.
I look very much forward to starting with this book, because I've done some translations as well of literary work, not my own, obviously, but, you know, it's definitely another journey compared to other community translations. In this article, there's a bit that says she wanted to learn another language because that would have been, you know, her choice. Bengali is because of her parents, I guess. English is because of the country that she was brought into. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, I wanted to learn a language because it was my choice, not because I had to learn it. And, you know, that really hit home as well. I always wanted to learn a third language because I wanted to. And for me, that's always been Spanish, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah, I was going to ask, what language would you want to learn?
It's always been Spanish because I'm just so intrigued by South America and Spain. And it's like, if I learn this one language, potentially I can visit like 20 plus countries and get around.
Yeah, you know? Well, that's
another one would be Arabic. You know? Another one would be Arabic, so it would be probably one of those two. What about you? How did you get onto Spanish?
Pretty much. I went on exchange after high school, and I didn't really mind where I was sent. I just wanted to learn Spanish because it was a widely spoken language and it meant you could travel around. Like, between English and Spanish, you could travel most of the world. I mean, there's a lot of places where they don't speak either of those languages. But, yeah, you could travel to many countries and, you know, see the world, which I was excited about doing at the time.
Oh, definitely, would definitely go a long way, wouldn't it? So I think you've done very well. I'm quite envious of you, and I'm going to follow your footsteps probably 20 or so years late.
But no worries.
I think I'm definitely going to get there.
I think that's partly how I came to be reading Jhumpa Lahiri's work, is that I have a small fascination with India too, and I've never been. So who knows, maybe.
Well, there you go. I'll start Spanish and travel Latin America, and you learn Hindi and travel India. How's that?
Right. Yeah, I might be Bengali speaking in some
Bengali, stage. Yeah. Well, all right, done. Deal. We'll see where we are in a few years' time. Hayley, look, we touched on it a little bit before. Let's have a little bit of a chat about the OZIT conference. We said that it's going to be in Brisbane in November. What can you tell me a little bit more about it? First of all, I want to say a big thanks to all the sponsors as well, and it's good to see a variety of universities as well as LSPs are on there, and some translation and interpreting technology agencies are there. So well done to all of you, and thank you on behalf of OZIT. Maybe let's talk a little bit about some of the keynote speakers. Who's going to be speaking at the OZIT conference that we should be looking forward to?
Well, top of the list is Professor Felicity Meekins. As far as I know, she has a special interest in Australian First Nations languages, so that's an interesting topic. I think we do know what her topic of will be, but I haven't got it in front of me right now, so we'll have to look that up. The next keynote speaker is Professor Lin Hua Liu, which I'm not sure of her pronunciation, I'm sorry, but she's coming from the Hong Kong Baptist University. There's also Dr. Pablo Romero Fresco.
You got that one pretty good.
He's from the Universidad de Vigo in Spain. And there's Dr. Lucas de Toca, who will be giving the Jill Blewett Memorial Lecture. So,
I was very lucky to meet Dr. Lucas de Toca at the FECA conference just a few weeks ago, and lovely guy, I have to say. And, you know, he did a lot for COVID translations during the quite difficult times where, you know, almost
He's been instrumental in that area.
Definitely. And almost every day there was new information that needed to be disseminated to many, many different languages. So I look forward to his presentation. And Dr. Pablo Romero Fresco.
Very good.
Yeah. I'm getting there. You know, he's got an honorary professorship of translation and filmmaking. So mm-hmm. I'm going to be definitely looking forward to that. That's one of the ones that I won't be missing. So it's going to be my first ever OZIT conference that I'll be attending in person. So I'm really excited. Thanks to my work here at All Graduates, I've been very lucky to now, you know, have easier access to some of these conferences. And when I went to the FECA conference a few weeks ago, I loved it. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I can't believe I haven't been to this thing before, you know.
Mm-hmm. And it was conferences are great for the exchange of ideas and just meeting people that you work with and haven't met in person. And
I know that's exactly what happened, you know, just like I look forward to meeting you in person in Brisbane. I missed a few presentations at FECA because you'd be like, oh, hi, and then you just start talking. And I think we're all so hungry for that connection. And, you know, being in translation interpreting and we're all coming from different cultures, and I think we all like in general just to be sociable and mingle and share stories. And it was just a great space to, you know, meet new people, actually meet people in person, catch up mm-hmm. with some old friends. So I look forward to doing the same at the OZIT conference.
Yeah, me too. It will also be the first time I've attended a full OZIT conference. I have attended before, but not the entire program. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that too.
Oh, and I also have never been to Brisbane before.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. There you go. Yeah,
exactly. We live in this amazing country. And it's just so vast, it's so big. And we're always kind of looking over the fence. We're like, oh, where can we go for a holiday this summer? You know, always looking at these international destinations. But, you know, open your eyes.
There's lots going on in the backyard too, isn't there?
Have a look around, yeah. So I'm definitely looking forward to I had some close friends who lived and now also live in Brisbane. So I've heard nothing but great things. So definitely going to go and check it out, and I'll be who knows, maybe I'll stick around for a few more extra days.
Well, lots of people are coming up from down south to this area.
I know look, probably it'll probably warm up in November in Melbourne by the time we get there, but my we had a very, very cold winter, so you know, I probably won't be missing Melbourne very much while I'm up there.
Well, it was the coldest winter on record here for quite a long time too, I think in the last 20 years or something. So, but I'm sure it's nothing compared to Melbourne winter.
Well, if they're complaining up there, Jesus. a friend of mine, whenever we get together, is like, this is what's not the Australia that we thought we'd be coming to. Why is it so cold here? I'm like, mate, you know, you fly for a few hours down south and it's Antarctica. What did you expect?
True.
That's why I think we kind of sometimes forget how big this country is, and it's just good to sometimes, you know, look around and go and check yourself and say, oh, well, you know, let's check out what's happening in our own backyard.
Yeah, that's true.
Hayley, thank you very much for coming on the show again. Always look forward to our conversations. I don't want to give too much away from the current issue because, you know what, they can just go and get it and read it. On that note, how are our viewers, listeners, our practitioners, or whoever's into the In Touch magazine, How are they going to read it? Let's just repeat this part again, as usual.
Yep. So if you're an OZIT member, you get to read the latest issue, which is it's actually going to be published on the 5th of August because it's got some prize winners who are yet to be notified. So they'll be notified first, and then this will go live on the 6th of August, which is in a couple of days. And so if you're an OZIT member, you can go to the OZIT website, to the InTouch section of that, and log in and download this issue. And you can, the other way to read it is from either the computer or your mobile device. You can go to the issue platform, which is ISSUU. And that way you can read it either in the flipbook format, which is like reading an actual magazine, or you can choose the blog format, which might be more friendly for your device. So yeah, either way.
Very good. Indeed, like I've got a e-reader, and I've read the magazine on that as well, as well as my tablet, and it works well everywhere, you know. And I'm looking at it right now on my PDF reader while I'm chatting to you on the same screen, and again, works perfectly fine. So well done to the team. Yes, doesn't matter which platform you want to get your hands on it, get your hands on it. All OZIT members have access to this. If you're not an OZIT member, you have access to the old news, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, if you're not an OZIT member, you can read from the April 2022 edition and previous to that.
I thought you were going to say 1986 or something. That'll be a good incentive. All right, well done. Viewers, listeners, please get onto the OZIT website. If you're a member, you can download it, or you can access it on Issue, ISSUU app.
Mm-hmm.
And the latest issue will be available from the 5th of August onwards.
Mm-hmm.
As we record this, it is the 4th of August, and I promise to get it up there by the 5th of August.
It's actually the 6th, so yeah, technically it's the 6th.
I promise to get it out before the 6th then. So as soon as we hang up on this call, I'm going to start editing, and we'll get it out there so it's nice and fresh for everyone.
No worries. Well, thank you very much, Vati.
Thank you, Hayley.
A pleasure to talk to you.
Always a pleasure as well, and welcome back to Australia. I was going to say welcome home, but you have two homes, don't you now?
Yeah, well, it's welcome home here, and yes.
Exactly. Well, welcome back to one of your homes, and it's really good to have you here, and I look forward to seeing you in person in November at the OZIT National Conference.
Sounds great. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye.
Conversations Podcast.